The moratorium on evictions for not making rent or mortgage payments was only meant to last until the end of the governor's state of emergency. A lot of people, though, took advantage of it, and a lot of landlords were not happy about it. But that moratorium is ending soon. And there is a worry. Our courts will now be flooded with evictions. But, well, there's also a worry that if there are a lot of evictions, there will leave a lot of people without places to live, compounding Nevada's homeless issue. And were you a renter who maybe got evicted during the lockdown? Or are you wondering about how to negotiate a payment plan with your landlord? Or is it just too late for that? On the other hand, maybe you're a landlord who doesn't know what to do about a problem tenant or a homeowner who had payments deferred. Do you expect you and your family to be homeless later this summer? Call us at 702-258-3552. You can email son@knpr.org. On Twitter, we are at KNPR News, and on Facebook, it's Nevada Public Radio. Attorney Chris Stork has been dealing with these issues for months at the Legal Aid Center's Consumer Rights Project. Also with us is Courtney O'Mara. She is the Business Litigation Director at Fenimore Craig in Reno. Courtney, Chris, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Joe.
Chris.
Good morning. Thank you.
Morning. Chris, I want to start with you. There are three main dates for reinstating evictions. They start at the beginning of July, the beginning of August, the beginning of September. First, for the start of July, what kind of evictions are allowed to start about a week ago?
Well, at the beginning of July, you have to deal with a lot of issues with regarding hotels. But after that, the main date is going to be August 1st, which is going to allow landlords to be able to evict people for 3-day nuisance notices and 5-day lease violations. And then after that, the biggest day is going to be September 1st, because after September 1st, landlords are going to be able to evict tenants for non-payment.
Okay, so on September 1st, then they won't be able to evict somebody right away on that date, because won't they have to wait a month for that month to pass and not getting payment for that month?
Well, it depends a lot on what they have with regarding to repayment agreements. So on September 1st, landlords are going to be able to evict tenants with regards to non-payment of rent for that month moving forward. But if they do have a repayment agreement, then it's going to be a little bit more difficult for landlords to evict individuals with regards to non-payment. So it's going to be very important for individuals to negotiate with their landlords, ensure they have a repayment agreement moving forward.
Now, that's something that people were told 4 months ago, work this out with your landlord. Have you found that a lot of people had not done that?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of difficulties with negotiating with your landlord. Obviously, different landlords are going to be more able to negotiate with certain tenants, and you're going to have landlords who are very difficult to deal with. However, within the directive, the initial directive, it is negotiating on a good faith basis. So it's very important for tenants to be able to negotiate with their landlords, but at the same time, actually documenting their negotiations so that if they were facing an eviction on September 1st, they would be able to have the relevant evidence to be able to provide to the court to inform them that the landlord was not negotiating in good faith.
Okay. By the way, we are talking about evictions. People are going to start getting evicted because the governor's moratorium on rent and mortgage payments is going to end pretty soon. It ended July 1st for commercial properties. And I want to talk first, Chris Stork, August 1st. Let's drill down a little bit more on that. What kind of eviction proceedings can start August 1st?
Okay, so on August 1st, you'll be able to be evicted for your regular 3-day nuisance violations, which include your regular nuisances as well as unlawful subletting and criminal type of actions within the unit that do not fall within the original eviction moratorium. And then you have your regular 5-day lease violations, in which individuals will be able to be evicted if they've conducted some sort of activity that falls within one of their lease provisions that will allow them to be evicted within those provisions.
And I was always under the assumption that during this moratorium, if you did commit some kind of criminal act, you could still be evicted during the moratorium. Was that not true?
That's correct. So there's three exceptions within the eviction moratorium. You cannot be evicted for non-payment of rent, obviously. And then from that point, the only three exceptions that you can be evicted on are going to be if you're a danger to the community and or residents, or you've conducted some unlawful criminal activity on your property, as well as causing substantial property damage to your unit.
So give me an idea of, on August 1st, what kind of issue a landlord could bring before the court to say, I get to do an eviction on this guy. What are some of the things that will come up? Hello, Chris? I guess we lost Chris Stork.
Hello?
Yeah, Chris?
Okay, perfect. So you have your generalized issues such as HOA violations, as well as your generalized lease violations. So anything that falls within the lease provisions that you'll be able to, that you would violate as far as your lease goes,
okay.
You can be evicted for those types of violations, as well as unlawfully subletting within your particular unit.
Okay. So are you expecting a lot of evictions on August 1st based on some of those issues?
Well, I've seen a lot of landlords trying to evict tenants for a lot of reasons within the three exceptions. So, you know, particularly I see it a lot within low income areas, as well as areas that have a lot of crime within the area. But I will expect evictions to correct themselves with regards to moving forward, because of the fact that a lot of landlords are going to have a lot of perceived issues with the tenants. So I expect a lot of landlords to try and move forward with evictions aside from non-payment of rent. So it's going to have to do a lot with tenants being able to have the relevant evidence to be able to, you know, conduct themselves in a particular manner so that they will not be evicted for a non-payment of rent issue. So it's going to be a matter of having the relevant evidence so they cannot be evicted.
Okay, then let's move 1 month after that, September 1st. Then people can start being evicted for what? You know, just about anything? I mean, talk about what are the issues that can come forward on September 1st for evictions.
So on September 1st, that if you don't already have a repayment agreement with your landlord, then you're going to be able to be evicted for non-payment of rent, as well as being able to be served with a 30-day no-cause notice. And so, you know, if you don't have the relevant evidence to be able to attack the notification they receive as a tenant for the eviction notice, then it's going to be very difficult for you to move forward. So it's very important that you document things with your landlord and you have everything necessary, especially if you filed a complaint with the Attorney General office or you filed a complaint with the relevant government authority, that you have everything in place so that if the landlord is trying to evict you for non-payment of rent or for some other perceived reason that would be retaliation, that you have the necessary evidence to be able to circumvent that.
So for over the last 4 months, you should have been documenting, or just document it now, the phone calls you may have gotten or the letters you may have gotten. Is that what you're talking about?
Correct. Okay. Everything that you received, because moving from the beginning of the moratorium, a lot of tenants have received notices for non-payment of rent or for some perceived violation for their from their lease, five-day lease violations or three-day nuisance notices that do not fall within the three exceptions of the governor's eviction moratorium. So it's important to be able to document everything that's occurred during the moratorium period. So if there was a violation that occurred during that period, or you've complained to the relevant, you know, government agency, that you have that documentation. So if the landlord is going to try and evict you, then you're able to claim a retaliation against you for those reasons.
The moratorium on evictions for not making rent or mortgage payments was only meant to last until the end of the governor's state of emergency. And for commercial businesses, that moratorium ended July 1st. On August 1st, it's going to end for a lot more tenants. And on September 1st, it's going to be back essentially to the way it was before the pandemic. And I'm here with Chris Stork. He's an attorney in the Consumer Rights Protect Project with the Legal Aid Center of Southern Nevada. And our number is 702-258-3552. If you were a renter who got evicted during the lockdown, give us a call and tell us how that happened. That wasn't supposed to be happening unless you were committing some sort of criminal act. Or maybe you're wondering about how to negotiate now a payment plan with your landlord. On the other hand, maybe your landlord who doesn't know what to do about a problem tenant. Our number is 702-258-3552, 702-258-3552. And as I mentioned, also with us is Courtney O'Mara. She is a business litigation director at Fenimore Craig. Courtney, you're up in Reno, and as we mentioned, the reinstatement of evictions began for commercial properties starting July 1st. I wonder, can those evictions be based on the non-payment of rents or mortgages during the emergency order?
Well, when you're speaking of an eviction for a commercial property, yes, those can recommence July 1st for non-payment of rent. And at Fenimore Craig, mostly we are helping commercial landlords, yeah. Sometimes residential landlords as well. But since our practice focuses on business, more times it is commercial landlords that we're working with.
But what I'm wondering is, so the governor had the several months of moratorium. Can the commercial landlord now say, look, you didn't pay us during the moratorium and I'm evicting you?
They can recommence their notices, yes. The important thing, so basically for commercial properties, we're jumping forward to where residential properties will be on September 1st. So it is a phased approach that the governor's most recent directive has taken on this issue, so that first commercial evictions can recommence and later residential evictions. The important thing about the moratorium is that from March 30th to June 30th for commercial properties, no late fees or other late penalties could be charged. But those can commence again now.
All right. So I know businesses in Las Vegas, business owners worked out deals with their landlords. In those cases, attorneys like yourself are not going to be part of this. They're not going to be an issue. There is going to be no issue. Is this mostly for people who did not work out agreements with their landlords?
Correct. If you're a commercial tenant and you've entered into an agreement with your landlord as an addendum to your lease, you'll be looking at that in connection with your lease as to what terms govern your tenancy at that property. However, if there's no agreement in place, or if the agreement you did enter into has now been breached, then the tenant could be evicted. This is a business agreement about the terms to stay in the property.
So are you expecting a lot of eviction notices now, or have you seen them?
We have already commenced some evictions. However, given what's going on in the economy, certainly our clients, our landlord clients, are wanting to keep good tenants in the properties, if at all possible. And that was really even the case before the pandemic began, that if there was a good payment plan arrangement that the tenant was able to enter into and could keep, then an agreement could be worked out to keep them in that property.
Yeah, because I think the big question for landlords would be, with the economy so poor right now, not a lot of businesses are out there to fill those vacant lots if they evict somebody.
Well, that's right. And take, for instance, a shopping center. If a tenant is not paying, but they can make some arrangement to pay a lesser amount, the landlord needs to consider what are the alternative tenants that might want that property. There might not be a lot of bar tenants to refill an empty bar space right now, for example.
Okay. You know, before the eviction moratorium that the governor set in place, landlords had, in some cases, started eviction processes. What happens now to those notices that were served prior to the moratorium?
So many of those notices are now stale, and the deciding factor on whether or not the notice is stale and has to be redone is whether an answer was already served to that notice. If the answer was served, then the case that has been paused can now start again. But if it never got to that stage, the landlord needs to redo their notices and serve those with the 5-day notice, and then the tenant has a chance to respond under Chapter 40.
About 50% of the people who live in Las Vegas are renters. A lot of people are homeowners, but they obviously pay lenders a monthly mortgage. Those payments were put on hold for about 3-4 months by the governor's emergency order, but that emergency order is being lifted, first with commercial properties on July 1st, then August 1st, it's extended a little bit more, and on September 1st, it basically goes back to the way it was before. If you are a renter or you pay a mortgage, did you work out deals with your lender? What were the terms of that deal? Or if you did work out those deals, were you still maybe being harassed to pay even though you had the deal in hand? What are you expecting is really kind of what we're getting at. Come August 1st, come September 1st, or what happened on July 1st? Our number is 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. You can email us at son@knpr.org. On Twitter, we are at KNPR News. And on Facebook, it is Nevada Public Radio. And I'm here with Courtney O'Mara. She's an attorney at Fenimore Craig in Reno, and she represents a lot of the commercial landlords. Chris Stork is an attorney at the Consumer Rights Project at the Legal Aid Center of Southern Nevada, and he represents a lot of people who might be facing evictions. Courtney, lawyers before all this happened said they expected a deluge of evictions once this moratorium was lifted. Do you think this phased-in approach by the governor will prevent that?
I do think it will help with that. I think it will also give people an opportunity to understand what's coming and what to expect as we reach each new deadline. Certainly for our commercial clients, we were watching this issue and so prepared to recommence notices on July 1st for those that wanted to do that. For example, if I know of a situation that our firm was involved with where the tenant abandoned the premises during the lockdown. And they just moved out and abandoned their space. Mm-hmm. And so in order for the landlord to formally take back that space, they need to go through the eviction process. Okay. And that can now happen since we are after July 1st.
Chris Stork, you know, we had a caller on a moment ago. He's dropped, but he had an interesting question. He was talking about the fact that the moratoriums are being lifted now, yet the virus, COVID-19, we're seeing a spike in infections, a large spike in infections. There were 11 deaths reported just yesterday in one day. Does it seem like it's kind of the wrong time to be lifting this moratorium? I wonder what people who are calling you are saying.
I mean, that's a really difficult question to answer, mainly for the fact that, you know, a lot of the things that we can do at Legal Aid Center is to follow directives of the governor with regards to what he intends to do moving forward. So, you know, to be able to, you know, look forward in terms of how the virus is going to progress, you know, that unfortunately, that's not necessarily within our job description. Sure. We just have to be able to look at what's the perceived ongoing activities with the way that the government is moving forward with everything and reopening the economy. So we look forward to the Attorney General office as well as the governor's office to see what their intentions are moving forward with this emergency order. You know, but really, it's not within our job description to be able to perceive how they should move forward versus how we can react in terms of the way that tenants should move forward with the directive and be able to advise these tenants with their particular situation with regards to the directives.
Okay. Our number, by the way, is 702-258-3552, 702-258-3552. Akeem from Las Vegas, welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Very grateful.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to make a few points real quick. I just feel like they still, you know, a lot of the individuals that's going through what they're going through financially, financial hardship, it's not their fault because of the government decided to shut the economy down but still allow bills to flourish through. So it's almost like people still being held accountable for something inside of their control. Now, you say make payment arrangements with the landlord. They didn't get help until 3 months, 3.5 months after the shutdown, which they already 2-3 months behind, 2-4 grand in debt. So how can they make a payment arrangement and get back to where they was when they have nothing to contribute to that? I don't feel like government doing enough. He live in a mansion that's provided to him, so he don't have to worry about the bills. I think the government need to do a lot more. You're going to have the system flooded with evictions. And, you know, it's like they being held accountable for something that they have no control over. So I think they need to do a lot better than what they're doing to help the people. Now, all of a sudden, it's just less evict them, you know, and you still have people that is still not getting unemployment that's been approved.
Yeah.
You know, still a lot of people out of work and not working.
I want to pose that. You make some really good points there, Akeem. I want to pose that to Courtney O'Mara. Courtney, when you're working with the landlords who you represent, the lenders, are you advising them on this kind of thing? You know, there were thousands of people who were not getting their unemployment. There are still some PUAs, people who are independent contractors who hadn't gotten their unemployment payments as of even last week. I wonder how you advise landlords when they're coming at you and saying, I want to evict. What's your best advice for them?
Well, certainly this is a complicated problem, Joe, but I think something to keep in mind that the caller may consider is that these landlords, whether commercial or residential, they likely have their own obligations too, yeah, that they owe money to their lenders or to their employees or to whatever other financial obligations they have in connection with their business. So many of those obligations have continued even despite the shutdown. And for example, in the commercial context, some of those tenants have been operating their business and earning money at their business because they were permitted to continue operating in some form or another during the partial shutdown. Mm-hmm. So as a matter of equity, I think that you have a situation where contractual rights are there for a reason, and those are important. And the directive does provide some relief from that. And when I'm advising my clients, I advise them to consider the business situation and whether a deal can be reached. If you have a good tenant who's willing to make some deal, even if it's payment over time, I've found that my landlord clients are very willing to entertain those options and make an extended payment arrangement.
So when a landlord comes to you talking about this, I wonder how much investigation you do or ask them to do about whether or not the person they'd like to evict, you know, has been running a business, still has money, that kind of thing, or if they really are destitute and have nothing.
Well, our job as attorneys on the landlord side is to advise them about their legal rights. Mm-hmm. And often they've already had someone in their own organization on the business side investigating that.
Okay.
If it's a shopping center, for example, mm-hmm, they know which businesses are operating or not. If it's a warehouse, they know if that tenant's business has been ongoing. And certainly, unfortunately, if the tenant is never going to be able to pay, there is a principle under the law called mitigation where the landlord really is obligated to find a replacement tenant so that you don't just keep running up the bill for your current tenant.
Yeah, I understood. And again, we are talking with attorneys about landlords and tenants' rights. As the governor's moratorium on rent payments begins to end, for several months, renters did not have to pay rent. A lot of people who are homeowners did not have to pay their mortgages. Some paid part of their rents, others paid nothing. And this was meant to keep people in their homes while hundreds of thousands of people in Nevada lost their jobs due to COVID-19. But there were instances during these last 3 to 4 months where people were evicted. And John from Las Vegas is one of those people. John, welcome to the program.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Go ahead.
The situation I was in was where the person that I rented with was good friends with the landlord. And at any rate, they put me in a position. I went to court And I just so happened to get in there when the David Brown, which is the only one that you can get to handle one of those, I guess it's a new thing that they got, expediting the mm-hmm. cases.
Sure.
And you can get it within 3 days. At any rate, David Brown happened to be on vacation, and a real judge was in there, not a referee or whatever they call David Brown. Okay, but
a hearing master, yeah.
The judge was there, and the judge went ahead and gave me a judgment because, at any rate, this guy that owns this little apartment complex, he doesn't own it. He's a manager, but if there was a slumlord, this guy's got to be a slumlord, okay? But at any rate, he brags of having over 200 evictions and never losing one. I think the reason is he's real good friends with David Brown. But at any rate, I got a judgment because he didn't show up because he was avoiding being served.
Oh.
And any rate.
So you won the eviction process.
Yes, because he didn't show up. He didn't think he had to show up because, I don't know, the guy is, he's really out there, okay? Any rate.
Okay.
So any rate, he knew exactly how to handle it. I guess he has some kind of cousin that's in the constable's office. And when I came back with my judgment, he turned it into a dispute. I wondered what was going on when he was calling the cop Mickey Mouse, he started a fight. The reason why he started a fight was because he knew that the judge, that the cop would make it a civil matter and we'd have to go back to court. By that time, David Brown would be back sitting on the seat, and he did exactly.
So you were fortunate in this whole matter. You still have a place to live right now?
No, it put me on the streets, okay? I've never been homeless.
I thought you said you had won the eviction process.
Yeah, until I went back and he knew exactly how to do the cop. He made it into a dispute.
Oh, I see. And okay. That's an interesting, a really interesting point. I want to turn that to Chris Stork. He's an attorney in the Consumer Rights Project at the Legal Aid Center of Southern Nevada. Chris, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not sure of all the processes in the court, but from what John was just telling you, do you understand what's going on there?
It sounds like he filed a verified complaint for unlawful exclusion of a tenant, and I'd welcome him to provide me with a little bit more information because I was a little bit I got lost with his explanation. So I think he filed a verified complaint for unlawful exclusion. If he's still on the line, you know, he could provide me with a little bit of more information. If he's not, then that's unfortunate. However, I think there's a misconception with regards to the way things are filed and the way that the processes go, because I've heard a lot of people consistently say that, oh, the judge is being paid off. Oh, you know, there's some sort of process that is negating my ability to be able to enforce my rights. And unfortunately, you know, that's not the way that it goes. You know, there's a process, you have to follow it. But at the same time, you have to understand that nobody's being paid off within this process. You know, that there may be a certain conceived understanding of the law with the way that things go, or the way that a judge may perceive a certain circumstance. But, you know, I think it kind of undermines the law to be able to say that, you know, a judge is being paid off because they do not agree with me. And unfortunately, you know, I do disagree with people that have that misconception, because, you know, it ultimately relies on a tenant's ability to be able to provide an argument or have the evidence to be able to provide their argument. And if you don't have that argument or you don't have the evidence, then unfortunately, yes, you may lose your case depending on what type of case you have, you know, whether it be a verified complaint for unlawful exclusion of a tenant or a 3-day nuisance with regards to the three exceptions of the eviction moratorium. But ultimately, you know, I do take exception to the fact that a lot of people try to undermine the law with regards to this preconceived notion that judges are being paid off or there's some sort of misgivings within the process.
That's sort of an old canard, in Las Vegas. Everybody thinks the judge is being paid off for something here, or you hear it all the time when things don't go their way. It's just it's probably said in every city, in every judicial, in every judge courtroom around the country. So you bring up a good point. Chris, I do want to ask you one thing. If somebody does get an eviction notice, what's the first thing they need to do?
Okay, so it depends on how they receive that eviction notice or the constable notice on the door, the 48-hour notice. So if they fail to file a tenant answer, then at that point, if they receive the constable's order for summary eviction, then at that point, they would have to do a motion to set aside. If too much time has passed from that point, then they can do a motion to seal. But typically, it depends on what court you're filing in, either a North Las Vegas Justice Court or Las Vegas Justice Court, that they'll set a hearing for that case to be heard. Again, it depends on how much time has passed. But, aside from that, as long as you are able to have the evidence to either set it aside or to seal that particular eviction, if you failed to answer, like I said, there is a process. It's important to be able to understand the process and follow through, because if you do, then you will be able to receive that perceived recompense with regards to the misgivings that you feel you've received from your landlord. So, it's also important to contact individuals that will be able to provide that guidance, such as legal advice, from Legal Aid Center or Nevada Legal Services, what have you. You just need to make sure that you're able to contact those resources so that we're able to provide that legal advice to you, so you understand what your rights are.
And Chris, before we get to some of these calls, the Las Vegas Constable's Office was dissolved years ago by the County Commission. So I'm wondering, who is responsible for enforcing evictions? And is there a sense that there might be so many eviction notices that they're not going to be able to keep up once the process starts rolling again?
Well, what I've seen from the perspective of how evictions have been proceeding within Las Vegas Justice Court is the fact that, from the beginning of the moratorium, there were very minimal in terms of evictions that were proceeding within Las Vegas Justice Court. But as things progressed from March 25th moving forward and until I would probably say around mid-May, it was probably two or threefold in terms of the increase. Now, in terms of the way things have proceeded with regards to the eviction process, honestly, it depends where you reside and what your circumstances are. Because if you're residing in a weekly rental and you've resided there for less than 30 days, then that is an entirely different situation from a tenant who is residing in an apartment month to month. So it's very important to understand your situation and be able to, be able to receive a consultation and understand your legal rights with regards to your particular circumstance, whether you're in a weekly rental or you're in a month-to-month situation in an apartment or residence.
Can landlords do the evictions? Can they go in and force people out, or is that illegal under Nevada law?
Well, it depends on the circumstance. I mean, if they're trying to proceed on a 30-day no-cause notice, that is going to be a little bit more difficult to proceed under. 30-day no-cause notices are going to be able to proceed on September 1st. However, if a landlord is not trying to move forward with collecting rent or trying to do anything that is beyond the moratorium for the governor's order, then at that point they would be able to proceed under a removal process for that particular tenant as of August 1st. So, that's kind of the weird circumstance with regards to the governor's directive, that it's really important to for tenants to be able to reach out to, attorneys to be able to describe their particular situation with regards to the governor's moratorium. But even more so, the simple fact of the matter is that a lot of misinformation has been proliferating through the community, whether it be, private attorneys or whether it be just a property manager or a landlord. So if individuals have questions regarding the moratorium, it's very important that you contact a organization that will have the answers to be able to provide to you.
Yeah, and by the way, we'll have links to your organization and others at knpr.org. Courtney O'Mara, I wonder if it works the same way in the Reno area, in Washoe County, if constables are used for evictions, or how does it work there?
The way it works in Washoe County is through the sheriff, and that's in the other northern counties as well. And so after you get your order from Justice Court, you take that to the sheriff, and they assist with the lockout procedure and the rest of the eviction.
And is that a fast process, or do you expect a backlog with that, as they might be expecting down here in Clark County?
You know, it depends on the jurisdiction. You know, in Clark County there, you have North Las Vegas, Henderson. Here we have the city of Sparks, the city of Reno. Then there is South Lake Tahoe, et cetera. So each jurisdiction has their own little quirks on how you can best expedite the matter from the landlord side. So far, you know, I think we are just serving one today, so I haven't seen how quickly that will be processed. But typically, they're very diligent, and I expect that to continue.
Evictions are coming. They're on the way because the moratorium that was set in place by the governor in March is ending. The first date was July 1st for commercial properties. August 1st is another date. And on September 1st, it goes back to the way it was. This is all happening despite the fact that COVID-19 cases, positive cases, are rising pretty quickly in Nevada. But you're a big part of this conversation, and we're wondering, did you set a deal with your landlord or your lender for your mortgage or your rental payment? And are you expecting, despite that, to be evicted? Or do you have a good relationship with your landlord? What's it been like for you since about 50% of all the people in Clark County are renters right now? Our number is 702-258-3552, 702-258-3552. And on Twitter, we are at KNPR News. I'm here with Chris Stork. He's an attorney at the Consumer Rights Project at the Legal Aid Center of Southern Nevada, and Courtney O'Mara, an attorney at Fenimore Craig in Reno. Chris, I want to turn to a topic very related to this. This sort of seems like the governor anticipated some of what was going to happen. 2 weeks ago, he said the state treasurer is working on a rental assistance program. When that's expected to be ready, how can people apply, and what will it do?
Okay, so with regards to the governor's initiative, I would say that, you know, within the next few days, it should be up and running. Our COVID-19 toolkit at lacsn.org contains the link that you'd be able to click on so you can apply for those types of assistance. However, one of the things that you need to actually have available when you apply is a copy of your lease, as well as a ledger for your for payments that have been made that are current, that do not contain any sort of late fees or any fees that would be in violation of the governor's order. And then at that point, you take those documents and then you apply and you submit those to the Clark County organization that will process those applications, and then they will be able to help you to provide rental assistance. And from what I've heard, they are going to be very generous in terms of the amount of money that they're going to be able to provide to a renter that is in default, you know, for their rent beyond the pandemic period. So, you know, it's very important that you work with them and you provide the necessary information, because the governor is providing roughly $30 million with regards to rental assistance. And then even beyond that, there's other monies that will be inserted into that that pot that will be able to assist renters. Mm-hmm. So it's very important that landlords and tenants work together to be able to move forward from this pandemic, so that they're able to get that rental assistance that they need.
The real key is going to be information on this, and that people even know that it exists. As you said, this program is going to be funded some $50 million in CARES funding, and with $330 million earmarked for residential rental assistance. So, but we've already heard from callers who say, you know, they think the governor's not doing enough. This program we're talking about sounds like it could help avoid a lot of the evictions that people expect to come.
That's correct. I mean, unfortunately, you know, the pandemic is unprecedented in terms of the times that we're living in. I mean, it can be, related to the Spanish flu. However, you know, these are unprecedented times in which we're living. So unfortunately, we have to live bit day by day and see how our particular circumstances relate to whatever resources are available. But the bottom line is everybody has to work with each other. So, you know, landlords and tenants will have to working with each other to be able to move forward from this period of time. So it's only in their best interest to be able to work together and move forward to be able to receive the rental assistance, because ultimately, you know, if landlords are able to receive the money, let's just say, you know, from the past 3 months, if not more, with, the Clark County Rental Assistance Program, then it's only in their best interest to be able to provide the information that is requested of that organization and be able to move forward from this pandemic together.
And Courtney O'Meara, we've talked about this on the program in the past, and people had a lot of questions about their credit rating. One question that came up, and I'm not sure we really got a good answer to this, is if a lender had worked out a deal with a homeowner, does the lender still have the right to report that homeowner to a credit agency?
Let me see if I understand your question. So
sure.
Under the terms of the deal, the tenant is complying with the deal. Can they still report the tenant to the credit agency?
For non-payment, yeah.
I don't think that would be appropriate. And certainly under this sample addendum that the governor's office has provided that you can enter into for a lease, it would also not be appropriate if you're complying with that agreement to then report the tenant to a credit agency if there hasn't been any new breach.
Right, but there's no rule against it. You said it wouldn't be appropriate. It wouldn't be a nice thing to do, but they could still do it if they wanted to.
I don't know the answer to that on the mortgage side, which is what you were asking about originally.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as on the tenant leasehold side, the question is whether something can be legally reported as to a credit agency is whether or not it's a debt that's due. And so if the tenant and the landlord have entered into a modification of their agreement under, for example, this lease addendum or some other less formal agreement, it can be even an email, and the tenant is still complying with that agreement, then there is no breach. And so it would not be lawful to report a tenant when there is no breach. They are complying with the agreement.
Okay. And Chris Stark, if a homeowner had worked out a deal, let's say they do have this agreement, but their credit rating took a ding because of some report by their lender. Is there a way for them to restore their credit rating? Is there something they should file or have on hand that they can take to somebody to get their credit rating back?
Well, from what I've been seeing lately is the fact that an individual who has a mortgage, they reach out to the bank and they ask whether or not there is a option for them to be able to refinance or what have you. At that point, unfortunately, the bank actually processes it as a request. And so from that point, it actually takes a ding to their credit report moving forward. You have to be really careful the way that you request things from your lender, because otherwise it may have an effect on your credit report. With regards to somebody who's renting, you know, it's important that you do enter into a repayment agreement, because if you enter into the model repayment agreement or the template that the governor has placed under his directives, then at that point, what happens is it's an addendum to your lease, which is, it's a part of your lease at that point once you sign it. And then from moving forward, if you were to terminate your lease, then it becomes a note. So, you know, at that point, it's kind of an assurance to the landlord of the fact that if you default on that obligation, they're able to pursue you. So it's in the best interest of the landlord and the tenant to enter into a repayment agreement. So that way, you know, you don't have to worry about the eviction process. You just work with your landlord and you ensure that you have that agreement so that they're not able to evict you for the non-payment of rent.
According to Amira, let's focus on that template, the lease addendum and promissory note. Have you been working with people on that yet?
Not with this specific addendum. I will note that this is designed specifically for residential tenants. With a few modifications, it could be appropriate for commercial tenants as well. But even before the governor's directive and the pandemic, my landlord clients would regularly enter into repayment plans to help their delinquent tenants catch up, because their interest is in keeping good tenants in place if they can meet their obligations, even if that's stretched out over time. So I do expect that this will make it easier for people, and with a few tweaks can be made appropriate for a commercial tenancy. And I encourage people to check out that addendum as well as the other good resources, including frequently asked questions that are available at the governor's website. And I think the station was going to post those notes.
We are, actually. And we have been talking about the end of the rent, the rental moratorium, the end of the evictions in the moratorium on evictions in the state of Nevada. Chris Stork from the Legal Aid Center of Southern Nevada, Courtney O'Meara of Fenimore Craig. I want to thank both of those. We're going to have links to the programs and services they mentioned on our website at knpr.org. And I want to thank our listeners who wrote or called in.